Okay, good to have you here this morning for our next lesson in homiletics. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started this morning. Dear gracious God, Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks and we give you praise for the opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, we pray that you bless our time of study together, that it might be profitable for your glory and for your honour. And Lord, that you would equip us to be skillful in the word of God. Lord, to be faithful preachers of the scriptures, and Lord, that through this souls will be saved, believers revived, edified, built up. So Lord, may these classes contribute to our skills, Lord, and to our knowledge, and that we might apply ourselves to this wonderful and privileged task that you have given us. So we ask for your blessings now upon our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you've completed test number one. If you could just, I'll take that off you after the class, Paul, and then Emmanuel, if you can just send me photos or scans of the pages as usual, that it would be great.
Sure.
Okay, and I'll score those and I'll get them back to you. Alright, so we're up to page number 29 in our notes for this morning, and we're now commencing the chapter entitled Sermon Types. Sermon Types, and we're going to look at the three main types of sermons: topical, textual, and expository. But before we do that, number one, any questions from any of our notes covered to date, or any questions on preaching in general that I could perhaps try and answer? No questions, Emmanuel? No problem at all. Any blessings out of this week's textbook reading? Is there anything that stands out from either the preacher in his preaching or anointed expository preaching? Okay.
I didn't note something in anointed expository preacher, and then got here and found I left the book at home.
So. Okay. All right, so what I want you to do from here is I want you to bring both books to class and be prepared to share at least one blessing from either one of the books, okay? Excellent. All right, so also you have submitted for me the outline, so I will grade those for you, particularly taking note of the structure. Did you, just for interest's sake, did you redo an old message or did you do a new one?
Mine was restructuring of an old message.
Excellent.
Incorporating what we learned in class last week.
Excellent, very good. And same for you, Paul? Yeah. No problem. Now, just a reminder that your first official message is due next Wednesday. You're across that, so 27th of the 3rd, if you go back to page 191, you need to have a gospel message prepared for me by next Wednesday. Okay, now it says here length 20 minutes. I'm flexible with that. It'll depend a lot on where you're going to preach this and when. But I will be in contact with your pastor over there, Emmanuel, just to see if he can give you an opportunity somewhere to preach that.
Sure.
Okay, but what I need is you to submit the sermon by next Wednesday. And then what I will do is I may give you some pointers and some revisions to work through, depending on how things turn out. And then you will then deliver that message, hopefully within a week or two of submitting it, okay? And okay. When you give the message, we will be going through a critique sheet, which I'll fill out for Paul on this end, and I'll liaise with Pastor Miggle over there to see if he'd be happy to do that exercise on my behalf with you, Emmanuel. And also what I thought with you, Emmanuel, it would be helpful if you could record it for me. I don't know if you could get an app on your phone or something like that. So when you do preach your messages, even though I'm not there to actually see them delivered, it would still be helpful if I could listen to them afterwards and perhaps give you some constructive feedback as required.
Okay, sure.
Did you have a question, Emmanuel?
Yes, I got the question from the books, from the preacher and his preaching. One thing that actually touched me was the call of Elisha, which he said that he was blown before he was called, so he was a preacher, a prophetic preacher, shouldn't be lazying about, he should be a man of work.
Yes.
And these are the people God would want to use, men who are not lazy in the past, but who are busy at work, and which was a blessing to me, above all. And then there was this, for our reading, there was no chapter 6, review questions for us to fill in. So right from chapter 5, you move on to chapter 11. So I don't know whether that was deliberate or there are some omissions somewhere.
In the... Okay, let me have a look. Shouldn't be. Ah, that's interesting. I'll have a look at that. I'm not sure why that is...
They do that later on as well.
It could be the nature of the chapters, because some of the chapters are fairly brief in that book. So what I'm assuming is if there's no review questions, you're just going to read those chapters in between. So obviously the author has just selected what he feels is the most important review questions on certain chapters. So I will investigate, but in the meantime, if there's no review questions required for those chapters, simply read them until you get to the next chapter with review questions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, but I will double check that. Okay. Did you have yes, the blessing from the book. Excellent. No, that's very true, and in our Mark series, we noted something similar where the Lord called fishermen, men who are labouring, men who are working, and God looks for a man who is, like you say, a man who is working, a man who is energetic, a man who is industrious, similar with Amos the herdman, and there'll be many other examples as well. So the man who's sitting around twiddling his thumbs, lazy, doing nothing, is not the sort of candidate we're looking for, or God's looking for the ministry. But as you've pointed out there from the book, yes, God looks for the man who is active, the man who is diligent, and they're the type of men that God will call. Same in Acts chapter 13, I believe it is, where you've got Paul and Barnabas. And the men there, they're serving the Lord, they're ministering, they're fasting, and then the Spirit of God sets them apart for ministry. So this is all part of, you know, fulfilling God's general will for our lives, and as we involve ourselves in serving the Lord and serving by working and supporting our families, then the Lord's specific will comes to us in that context. So that's very good. All right, so if you turn back to page 29 now, we want to start just looking at these three types of sermons. We have the topical sermon, the textual sermon, and the expository sermon. Now, before we get into the actual notes, I'd like you just to give me what you understand already on those three. So, Emmanuel, what is your understanding of a topical sermon? What is a topical sermon in brief?
So, topical sermon is a sermon that the Holy Spirit maybe puts in your heart a particular topic that you should speak about, maybe the love of God or a particular aspect of the love of God. Then you take a biblical text as your main text, and then you cite other texts to support it, but you actually speak around that specific area of the love of God.
Excellent. So a topical sermon is where you're taking a scriptural theme and you're going to draw on a broad range of texts from the Bible to speak on that theme. A typical scenario where we see this used would be a doctrine class, a Sunday school class. So, for example, on Sunday mornings at the moment, before the main service, I'm doing a series of studies with a group of believers, young believers in particular, and they're all topical studies. So, from A to Z. A, assurance of salvation. So, with speaking on assurance of salvation, you're not going to do an expository message probably on one passage. You may have one key passage that you commence with, but you're going to look at a whole range of verses on the subject of our assurance. Similar with like the Lord's table, for example, or the doctrine of baptism, or the ordinance of baptism, I should say, or the deity of Christ. If you're going to look at the deity of Christ, there are key passages, but you're probably going to do a study on a range of verses. And, you know, so it's very useful for covering a topic. Now, it doesn't just have to be for teaching. It can be a message of exhortation as well. You might take a theme and then just, you know, give them four verses that really just hit home that theme. But that's the topical message. You're drawing on scriptures on that topic from anywhere from Genesis through to Revelation. You might say, all right, point number one might come out of Exodus. Point number two might come out of Matthew. Point three might come out of Luke, you know, and that's the topical message. Okay, and then on the other sort of the other end of the spectrum, you've got the expository sermon, and that's where all of your main points and even all of your main subpoints are going to come out of one passage of scripture. Then I see the textual sermon as sitting almost between topical and expository. I see it as almost a hybrid of the two. With a textual sermon, you have one main text. It's usually one to three sort of verses. But then your subpoints, your supporting subpoints can be drawn from other scriptures. So it's kind of like a cross between topical and expository, kind of combines elements of the two. Main points come out of one main text, like your expository, but then your subpoints often come from elsewhere. So it's kind of like, you know, a mix of expository and topical. Expository, which we'll get to later on, is where you take a passage of scripture and you're going to really just primarily confine yourself to that main passage of scripture. You will bring in on the odd occasion other scriptures to or illustrations and things from scripture to support what you're saying, but the bulk, the primary purpose of that sort of message is to exegete and to unfold in context what the theme of that passage is. And typically you're covering more verses with an expository message. It can still be, you know, it could still be, you know, four or five, but typically, you know, you're looking at half a dozen verses through to about a dozen verses in an expository message. All right, so the first one we will look at this morning on page 29 there is the topical sermon. So that's our first heading this morning. Number one, the topical sermon. As its name suggests, this is a sermon that deals with a particular topic or a particular theme. A, defining a topical sermon. A topical sermon is one in which the main divisions are derived from the topic independently of a text. Number one under that, the work of preparing the sermon begins with a selected topic. Okay, so you're going to consider a topic from Scripture. Obviously, you're not coming to the Bible with a topic that's not there. You might think, okay, it'd be good to preach something on the local New Testament church, okay? And you could do a topical message looking at, okay, the ordinances of the church, the offices of the church, the mission of the church. That could be a topical message where you're looking at the general theme of the local church and then all the various facets underneath that. That could, in fact, be an entire series, but you could do a message like that. The main points of the sermon come from ideas suggested by or derived from the topic. Number three, these are then supported or backed up, proven with Scripture. Point B, selecting a topic. Firstly, some cautions about this. A, do not look for a sermon, look for truth. It must be truth that has come through the preacher, not simply truth the preacher has come across. It must be truth that has been experienced rather than being something academic or theoretical. Okay, do not look for other men's ways of saying it. Quoting what other men have said is acceptable, provided it is of an exceptional nature. Be careful never to elevate the statements of men to a level of Scripture. We shouldn't be afraid to use a good quote from a man of God. I think there's a balance there. I think it was Spurgeon who said, "He who never quotes will never be quoted." So a good statement from a man of God can be a great blessing in a sermon. But we should, like he says, we should never look to elevate the statements of men on the same level as Scripture. The Word of God is our sole authority for faith and practice, and that's the basis for what we teach and preach. Avoid weak topics that have little or no biblical basis. Okay, be careful of little hobby horses or sidetracks, things that are really not necessarily sound doctrine. And preachers can get stuck on silly little things at times and distractions that really are not edifying or helping the people. And I'm not saying that any detail in Scripture is important. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you hear certain preaching where the preacher is just focused on some tiny little thing, and you think, and he spends so much time waffling on that one little point. And you think, okay, the unsearchable riches of Christ, brother, there's so much there that we can edify the people of God. Do we really need to get stuck on whether Adam and Eve had belly buttons or not, things like that. Not that I've ever heard a sermon on that, but just, sometimes little rabbit trails and things we have to be careful of. Then we need to find a suitable topic, okay? The Word of God provides an inexhaustible treasure trove of topics. It speaks to just about every aspect of life and its relationship to the Creator. Okay, so this is one of the blessings of topical preaching, is it helps people to see the Bible has answers. Okay, so you could take a topic, you could take a contemporary issue like abortion, or an issue like homosexuality, any other sort of issue like that, and you could go to the Word of God and say, now let's see from the Bible, what is God's mind on this subject? Okay, so there's going to be a time for a topical message where you need to address something. It might be something that's happened in the nation, it might be an evil law that's just been passed, or it might be something that's happened in the church, or a question that's arisen in the church over a point of doctrine, and that's where the topical method can be useful. All right, the preacher will select his topic from, here's some points, insights personally gained through his reading of the Bible, prayer and leading of the Holy Spirit, his understanding of needs within the congregation, or a request to preach on a specific topic, okay? So, for example, when I go to Ghana, the pastor there would like me to do 3 messages on the family, okay? Sent me the schedule last night. So I've been assigned a topic, and I need to think and pray about what 3 messages on that subject I need to preach. Now, they'll very likely end up being expository messages, taken from 3 different passages, but sometimes you will be assigned a topic and you need to be prayerful about what to preach. Topics may be narrow or broad and will fall under many classifications. Here's some different classifications of topics. We have doctrinal topics, okay, so like the Sunday school class scenario I gave you before, or the teaching class, the discipleship class. So for example, you might have the topic of the Word of God or sin, salvation, Christ, the church, the judgment of God, the judgments of God, and so on. Now, topics do need to be narrowed. Some of those topics are extremely broad. The topic of sin is huge. So if you're going to do a topical message, you're probably going to pick one aspect of that overall theme. It might be the deceitfulness of sin. So that's narrowing the topic down to one aspect. Okay? It might be the deceitfulness of sin, or it might be the definitions of the various words that the Bible uses for sin. There's many different words. There's iniquity and transgression and sin, missing the mark, and so on. Okay. Practical topics, those relating to the Christian life. For example, the home, courtship, marriage, children, finances, prayer, fasting, the abundant life, spiritual warfare, victory, evangelism. Okay, I did about a 6-part series on evangelism, and that was a topical method. And I might actually send you a couple of those as examples of topical sermons. So that was where we did we did a lesson on street preaching, we did a lesson on door knocking, a lesson on the law and other aspects of soul winning. Life situation topics, so things like depression, stress, loneliness, insecurity, These are all issues that can be addressed topically from the Word of God. Sickness, suffering. Okay? We might do a lesson on what does the Bible say about sickness and suffering. That might be important if you're surrounded by charismatics teaching a certain view. And then you might go to the Bible and say, now look, here's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had the power as an apostle to heal many people, but he couldn't heal himself. He had to accept that God had allowed a sickness in his life and would not take it away. So that debunks the whole idea that God will always heal the Christian and that sickness is all from the devil. Sometimes sickness is from the Lord. Sometimes they're thorns in the flesh that God allows for a specific purpose in our lives. So that's where the topical method can be useful. Contemporary topics. So, for example, topics dealing with morality. Liquor. Okay, you might do a whole sermon. You might do a sermon or a series of sermons on the subject of wine. It's a big topic with many different arguments out there for and against. So let's go to the Bible. Let's look at a broad range of scriptures that cover this, that address this topic, and seek to define a biblical position. Gambling, sexual perversions, topics dealing with national and world events, especially those with prophetic significance. Okay, there might be some really major event that's taken place in the world, or something major that's taken place in the nation that would warrant the man of God taking the scriptures and dealing with that subject. Special occasions, okay, New Year's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas Day, national observances, weddings, funerals, graduations. Now, these special days, you may use the textual method, you may use the expository method, you may use the topical method. And good preachers will learn to use all methods as the Spirit leads and as the need arises in the church. I believe that expository is the most important and probably the one we should focus on the most, but at the same time, we don't want to limit ourselves to one type of preaching. Because there will be times when we need to address a broader topic. There will be a time when a textual sermon will be fitting as well. Apologetic topics, defending the faith, creation versus evolution, world views and modern philosophies, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, these are all topical type of themes. Polemical topics, defending the faith before other Christians. For example, the King James Bible versus modern perversions. It's very unlikely you're going to take an expository method there. If you're going to do, you may do an expository message on the Word of God from, say, Psalm 119, but if you're going to deal with that broader topic of the King James versus modern perversions, then that's going to be a topical message. You're going to draw on a broad range of resources from the Word of God and also other historical facts and things as well. New Testament church versus man's churches, sacred music versus ungodly CCM. The cults in the Bible, okay? These are all just examples of the sort of themes or categories, classifications for various topical themes. Word study topics, okay? This is a sermon that looks at the usage of a particular word or phrase found in the Bible. So, for example, the musts of John chapter 3, the precious things of 1 and 2 Peter. The so greats of the Bible, the meanings of love, the meanings of power. Okay? Character topics, taking lessons from the lives of people mentioned in the Bible. Alright, so we've looked at defining a topical sermon, selecting a topic. Now we want to look at point C, the advantages of a topical sermon. What are some of the advantages? One, people are generally interested in topics. Okay? So, again, if you've got an issue that's floating around, and doctrinal errors come in fads and come in waves. So at the moment, one of the new fads is the pre-wrath rapture view. Now, if that's floating around and people are hearing about it and they're seeing videos pop up on YouTube and this, you know, they've heard of this brother who's gone wrong on that part of the doctrine, it might be wise to say, okay, what does the Bible say about this? Okay, and that gets people's interest because it's something that's relevant, it's something that's real to them at that time. All right, and this is important, you know, because there are different seasons in the life of any church, and there's going to be times when certain issues need to be addressed, and the people are concerned about a particular issue, or the devil is attacking a particular point of doctrine. We need to be very sensitive to where the devil is attacking at the moment. We're very good at firing off shots on parts of the battlefield where the devil's not fighting right now. and everyone shouts amen and hallelujah, but the reality is we're shooting cannons into an empty field where the devil's not fighting. Now, we still need to firm up those areas because where Satan has attacked before, he'll probably attack again. But we need to know, okay, across the stretch of the line of truth we're trying to hold, which particular point is Satan pushing at the moment? And we dealt with that a bit in our Nehemiah series about how Nehemiah had a trumpeter next to him so that the trumpet could be sounded at whatever point on the wall that was being contested at the time. And that would allow then the people to rally to that particular point that was being contested and then repel the enemy. So as God's, as men of God, we need to be prepared to sound the trumpet on the part of the wall that Satan is attacking at the moment. What tends to be the pattern today, even amongst, unfortunately, Bible-believing churches, is a man of God sounds the alarm on a particular attack from the enemy, and instead of us rallying to fight the enemy, we shoot the messenger. That makes sense? We say, shut your mouth, don't warn about this, okay? And they get, it's amazing how much flack the trumpet blower will get today. Okay. Now we know there are people out there who are attention seekers and just looking to make an issue out of everything, who are just looking to sensationalise things, and we don't want to be in that group of people. But we do need to be aware of where the devil is attacking and take steps as preachers to address that. So people are generally interested in topics too. The topical sermon can cover a topic in its totality. So you can gather together all of the Bible's salient teachings on any given topic into one message, allowing for a thorough presentation of truth. So it can be very useful. You can cover, sometimes, most of the key verses on a particular theme in one verse, so people get a really good overview of that truth as it unfolds in the Bible. Topical preaching allows for variety in preaching. This is because the Bible has something to say about many subjects, as noted above. 4. Topical preaching provides a balanced spiritual diet. The preacher can balance his topics between things like doctrine, devotion, duty. 5. Topical preaching allows current happenings or needs to be addressed. Unexpected or unplanned issues can come up at any time, and I mentioned that before. And I think I said in a previous lesson that it's very important that even if we have a structured approach to our messages and we're planning ahead, which I think we should be doing, there are going to be. We still need to balance that with the sensitivity to the Spirit of God, with what's happening in the local church, what are the needs of the flock, and don't be afraid to set aside a regular series for a week and deal with something if the Spirit of God leads. 6. Topical preaching facilitates the preaching of a series of messages. Some subjects or themes are so vast or important that a series of topical messages is preferable. Okay? So you may do a whole series on a particular topic. For example, the supernatural word of God. And you could do a series on that with points like the Bible's inspiration, the Bible's preservation, the Bible's credibility. So that could turn into a whole series of topical messages. Okay, we're going to deal with the word of God, the supernatural word of God. And our first lesson tonight is the inspiration of the Bible. Okay, and you're drawing on a range of scriptures. Okay, then the preservation of the Bible, so on. The second coming of Christ. Doctrine of devils, the home. Okay, husbands, wives, children. So these are all themes that could be developed not into just one message, but into a series of messages on that topic. Now, just highlight this note here. It is important to keep a topical sermon concise and to a point. Okay? Attempting to cover a big subject in one message would likely overwhelm the audience, nor do the topic justice. Okay, now we do need to be careful of that. I call it the content dump. Okay, so if you sometimes you hear a sermon where it's just an overwhelming amount of information and that's just dumped on the people and it's too much for them to digest. We have to bear in mind that if, as preachers, if we've done our job, we've hopefully, immersed ourselves in the subject and studied it thoroughly, and it's perhaps very clear in our minds, but we have to remember that the people have not been sitting at the desk for 10 hours studying that message like we have. So we have to be careful not to make assumptions that they automatically have all the same knowledge in their minds about that message that we have. Okay? So it's important that we effort be made not just to getting the content together, but putting it in a presentable and digestible way. across the people. Now, that doesn't mean that we should be shallow in our preaching. There's nothing worse than shallow preaching. We need, if anything, it's better to err on the side of too much biblical content than too thin. Okay? For example, when preached, back to the notes, when preaching on the subject of faith, it would be better to preach a series of messages, each one addressing some aspect of faith, such as saving faith, living by faith. Okay, so that brings us back to that important aspect of narrowing the topic. Okay? You could say the love of God, for example, is a broad theme in Scripture. But that's really too broad to cover in one message. You may do a whole series on that, so under that broad theme of the love of God, look at all the various facets of God's love, and that could be an entire series. Or if you're looking to do just one message, you would need to think, what facet of the love of God am I going to focus in on specifically? Topical preaching, number 7, is an excellent method for teaching doctrine. And this is where I believe the topical method is probably best used. I think for our main messages to the people, we should try and emphasise expository, or textual even, and the occasional topical. But I think topical is particularly useful for instruction, for teaching. So this is, at the moment, these notes are topical. Okay, we're not doing an expository message on a passage. We're dealing with the overall theme of preaching, homiletics, and all the various facets of that topic. Okay, so it's very useful for the Sunday school class, the discipleship class, the new members class. These are all areas where the topical method can be very, very useful, so we can present doctrine in a systematic way. Number 8, topical preaching makes an impression. A, it enables an audience to hear and grasp a topic in one message. B, it gets the congregation turning pages in their Bibles, and that can be good. Again, it shows people the Bible has answers, and that's where the discipleship class, I really enjoy the discipleship class with the group of people we're working with there, because it gets them digging into the Scriptures, and so we're turning, okay, let's look up this verse, and people begin to see, okay, we can go to the Bible and look for answers on these subjects. C, it highlights the unity of the Bible. So topical preaching does that, because you can see, wow, this theme runs from Genesis to Revelation. You can see, for example, look at the blood of Christ as an example. As someone said, there's a scarlet thread that runs through the entire Bible, the scarlet thread that speaks of the blood of Christ. So right from the beginning, from Abel's offering through to the lamb pictured in Revelation slain before the foundation of the world, we see the blood of Christ there. So people can see the unity of the Scriptures with these themes. C, it can impress seekers by showing the Bible does have answers. Point D, the disadvantages of the topical sermon. Okay, so with each of these methods, there are advantages and potential disadvantages if not used wisely. A steady diet of topical preaching is unwise because, one, people may not learn the Bible as well as they ought to. The Word of God is more than a collection of topics. B, Christian maturity is more than having a list of proof texts. And C, believers must become skillful in rightly dividing the Word of truth. What I like about the expository method, and in particular going through an entire book, is you get the full impact that the Spirit of God intended in that book. You unfold from start to finish the theme. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't jump in the middle of a book and pull a message out. We can do that, or use a text for a topic, because the Word of God does that. And we even see examples in the Bible of what could be called topical preaching. Stephen's message in Acts chapter 7 is very much topical. I mean, he pretty well surveys Israel's history in a snapshot, gives them a panorama of Israel's history, and then hits them with a punchline at the end, kaboom, wham. You're stiff-necked in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. So that was really a masterful topical message, looking at a broader theme through Israel's history as recorded in the Old Testament Scriptures. And the primary theme being their resistance to God and His Word and His Spirit's working. So, but that being said, we do need to, if people are not going to learn the Scriptures as well as they ought to if we only use topical. People need to be taught line by line, chapter by chapter, so they can understand context and the central themes that the Spirit of God has in those books. And that can be a great blessing. And then they learn to rightly divide the Word of truth. Okay, so understanding things like dispensations and so on. There is a limit to preachable topics. Okay, if you rely only on topical, you're going to have to constantly be coming up with new topics, new ideas, and you can run out of material. And I like what one older preacher said to me. He said, if you learn to preach expository, you will never run out of material. Never run out of sermon material. And that's true. Now, you've got to go back to selecting the topic, selecting the message, which is, okay, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And that can still be a challenge, even though you've got the whole Bible in front of you. But if you can learn to speak, if you can learn to preach expository and get preaching through books and things like that, then you will never run out of material. Okay? All right. I would add a third disadvantage to this. If you could just write down number three. A third disadvantage is the danger of taking scripture out of context. Or making the Bible say what the preacher wants it to say. Okay, so write that down. Number three, the danger of taking scripture out of context, or making the Bible say what the preacher wants it to say. A topical sermon, if not done carefully, is more open to manipulation by the preacher. Now, the cults manipulate the scriptures all the time. They cherry pick verses and construct support, so-called, for their errors and their false doctrines. And if we're not careful, we can go to the Bible with an idea and try and say, oh, I want, go to the Bible, say, I've got this great idea for a sermon, and then try and make the Bible fit that idea. What I like about expository preaching is the preacher is more constrained by the text. And he's forced to conform his message more to what the Spirit of God intended in that passage. And you're following more strictly often the rules of context and the laws of interpretation. So I like that. That's really what we're talking about when we talk about exegesis, is going to the Bible and studying the text and unfolding the text and then delivering that faithfully to the people. So again, I'm not saying we can't use the topical method. We just need to be aware of its dangers. And this is one danger I see, is we can grab an idea and then make the Bible support that idea and maybe pull verses out of certain places that really, perhaps are not really, they're not really supporting that idea, or we're just taking them out of context. So I think in many ways, if you want to be a good topical preacher, you need to actually be a good expository preacher. Because that way, when you come to take a verse from a particular passage, hopefully, if you're preaching expositorially, you're going to know a little bit about the context and the background and therefore not misuse that verse. E, preparing for a topical sermon. Having selected a topic, the preacher must, 1, determine the teaching of the whole Bible on the topic. If he's to declare the whole counsel of God, a preacher must know the whole counsel of God. And there's some ways that can help us with this. Use a concordance or a topical list. Look up references to the keyword associated with the topic. So Strong's Concordance is useful there. If you're going to preach on the blood of Christ, you can go and look up that word, keywords surrounding that topic, and find a whole list of scriptures. Make a list of relevant scriptures. Okay, write down the salient references. Not all uses of a word will be applicable to the message. So with topical, you don't have to use every verse on that subject. But you're going to select key verses on that subject that are going to support the scriptural truth you're presenting. So you catalogue the selected scriptures, okay? Then you can begin to sort the references under appropriate headings. So if you're going to deal with a topic, you go to the Bible and start looking for key verses on that scriptural theme. And then once you've got a catalogue of verses, then you can begin to hopefully discern the appropriate categories, okay? So, key verses on the Word of God, you can say, okay, this verse speaks about inspiration. This is a verse on preservation. This is a verse on the power of the Word of God, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Preparing for topical sermon, we need to determine the teaching of the Bible on that topic. Then number two, winnow the compiled list of scriptures. Okay, winnowing was something that was particularly done in Bible times, and probably still done in lands today where they don't have as much advanced machinery and technology, where they would take the grain and thresh it to remove the husk, and then they would on a windy day throw the grain up in the air, and the wind would blow away the chaff. Okay, so that's the picture there. We need to winnow the compiled list of verses. So every sermon needs to go through this process of refinement and learning to discern. Okay, that's a natty little piece of information, but it's really not going to contribute too much to the theme that I'm addressing here. So you can just leave it out. And every message that I do, there'll be certain points that I've researched or studied or bits of information that I just leave out. But those pieces of information are not wasted in the sense that I go, hopefully, to the pulpit well researched and well studied in that subject, and I preach from the overflow. Okay?
Yes.
All right, it is redundant and usually boring to cite and or read every single scripture reference or passage that has to do with a particular point being made. Okay? Since many references will say much the same thing, select only the most striking and representative passages. Okay, so again, with topical messages, because they're so, can be so broad, we have to narrow down, and refine. So that, because you want your messages to hit a target. Okay, what is the target, and does each of these points contribute to hitting that main target? Otherwise, you can be like a shotgun and spray pellets in all directions and sort of not accomplish a huge amount, okay? F now. So preparing topical message, E, and then F, essential factors when writing topical sermons. Number one, the topic should be clearly stated at the beginning of the message. Right, people should know from the outset what the message is about. Now, this starts with you knowing what the topic is. All right, so ask yourself that question, what am I speaking on today? What is this sermon going to be about? Because if the answer to that question is hazy in your minds, guarantee you it'll be even less clear in the minds of the people hearing it, okay? So you need to know, what am I speaking on? And then express that in the form of a clear title. Now, you don't have to come up with specky titles all the time, so long as the title conveys clearly what you're going to speak on. If you do have a mind-grabbing or catchy title, you need to give the title, but then tell people still, in a simple way, what you're speaking on. So, just to give you an example of a provocative title or a catchy title, The Baptist Witch. Okay, that's an attention-grabbing title. It makes people sit up and go, whew, what's Pastor going to speak about this morning? But then in my introduction, I'm going to tell them, we're dealing today with the sin of partial obedience. Okay? Because the topic... The title, even though it's attention-grabbing, doesn't automatically tell the people what I'm speaking about. Unless they're really well-versed and studied in that passage, they might say, oh, okay, I can see where he's going. So it's important, if you're using a title that's a bit of a mind-grabber, that in your introduction you just state in simple terms what the theme is you're speaking on, so that people are in no doubt as to what it's about. All right? Hell's tongue in the Christian's mouth. Now, that's probably fairly self-explanatory if our pastor's speaking on the tongue. But again, I'm going to make it clear in my introduction, we're going to deal with some of the evils of the tongue in this message. But you don't have to have a specky title. It you don't want things to be forced, or you don't want to do things just for the sake of it. If you can't come up with a real attention-grabbing title, then just make the title plain and simple, and just tell people what you're going to speak on. But I think titles are important, and they're important for you as the preacher, because it helps you refine in your mind, what am I speaking on? What's the subject? What's the theme? And that's your title, okay? B, the opening text should be one that will best lead to the topic. So like you mentioned at the beginning, Emmanuel, that was correct. We need to select a text for a topical message that provides a good launching pad or a good launching point for the rest of the message. You may not even speak for a whole lot of time on that starting text, but that text introduces your theme. So, for example, you could say, I'm going to speak this morning on the love of God. John 3:16 would be a great starter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this is one of the most wonderful verses in Scripture on the love of God. And this morning we're going to deal with the theme of the love of God. Now, the first thing about God's love I want you to see is one. And you might go, you might fly over and then to the book of Genesis, you know. But that's your introductory text is just where you draw out your theme and then you launch from there, basically, with a topical message. C, an explanation and defining of the topic should be included in the introduction. Okay? Page 35. 2, there must be a unity of thought in a topical message. Alright, so that's important. You, like I said, you don't want to be too wide and broad and chase all sorts of rabbits, and a topical message is dangerous in that regard. You could just about... You could end up in a complete tangled mess with all sorts of rabbit trails. All right, the main divisions must be organised in a proper order. Okay, this can be, one, biblical order as the topic unfolds in Scripture. Two, chronological order as the topic unfolds in time. Or three, progressive order as the topic is developed logically. Okay, so there's different ways that you can organise the main divisions. It is vital that the sermon exhibits a clear thought process. There should be no jumping back and forward. Okay? Now you're going to move around the scriptures on that topic, but there needs to be a clear progression of thought. Okay? You have to learn to sort of determine what's the starting point on this topic and what's the natural progression on the subject. So, for example, on the supernatural nature of the Bible, it makes logical sense to start with inspiration because that's really the starting point before you get to preservation. Make sense? 3. Each divisional point must be properly explained. It is not enough to throw out a verse of scripture and leave it at that. Okay, my wife's been on to me about this with some of my illustrations. She said, you give an illustration, then you just move on and you leave it hanging, but you need to somehow connect that illustration back to the message a little bit clearer. And not just, again, not assume that the connection you have in your mind is automatically in the people's mind. Okay? The preacher must ensure the true meaning of the text and its relationship to the topic is clearly communicated and taught. All explanations must follow the rules of biblical interpretation. 4, the conclusion must emphasize the topic. We've talked about that before. The conclusion is really wrap up and summarise what you've been dealing with. All right, point F now. So we've dealt with point A, defining a topic, B, selecting a topic, C, the advantages of a topical sermon, D, disadvantages, E, preparing for a topical sermon, F, essential factors when writing topical sermons. Oop, hang on. ABCDEF, that should be G, it's a typo in the notes, not F. F, G, the main divisions of a topical sermon. Alright, these should either, one, analyse the topic. This would be for a teaching sermon. For example, if the topic was Satan, the divisions might be A, his origin, Ezekiel 28:12-17. B, his fall, Isaiah 14:12-15. C, his domain, Ephesians 2:2, Job 1:6, Revelation 12:7-10. D, his power, Ephesians 6:11-12, Luke 11:14-18. E, his work, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Luke 8:12, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. F, his destiny, Matthew 25:41, Revelation 20:10. So that's the analytical approach. You're going to take the subject of Satan as a person, and then deal with those main topics or main headings that deal with him, with Satan as a supernatural fallen being. So his origin. That's again. So can you see how you go back to where does this topic begin in a sense? Okay. Satan's origin. Then you look at his fall, his domain, his power, his work. What's Satan doing now? And then into the future, his destiny. All right. Now, each of these particular points could be a sermon each of these points could be turned into a sermon, and therefore you could have a whole topical series on Satan. But this is, you can see how this is distinct from preaching through a book of the Bible. You're taking the overall theme of Satan, and then you're going to follow that through the Bible. Number two, prove the topic, exhorting. For example, if the topic was the benefits of knowing God's word, the divisions might be A, the benefit of salvation, the benefit of keeping us from sin, the benefit of spiritual growth, the benefit of successful living. So that's more of an exhortational approach to the topic. Three, develop the topic, explaining. A topic may be enhanced or enlarged upon A, by analogy. For example, if the topic was the salt of the earth, it could be developed by comparing it to the benefits and purposes of salt. So you could look at the theme of, the salt of the earth. Okay, now in life, we know that salt does several things. Salt preserves. Salt purifies. Salt seasons. Salt stings. Salt creates thirst. These are all functions of salt that could be points for a message. By repetition, for example, the main divisions may be expressed by repeating a certain fixed word or phrase of scripture throughout the outline. See, by contrast. Compare and contrast the topic to something else in scripture. Note, the main divisions should never be undergirded by proof texts wrested out of context. And I've mentioned that before. Alright, point G, tools for developing topical messages. When studying for a topical message, the preacher should be asking questions. Number one, use the six serving men. And here's the quote or the poem. I had me six serving men who taught me all I knew. Their names were what and where and when and how and why and who. And we could add a seventh, what then. These will guide the composition of the sermon in logical and orderly ways. So asking those sort of questions can be helpful. And even using some of those questions as your main headings can be important, can be helpful. So you could say, what is the local church? Why do we need the local church? Who started the local church? You can use questions like that to actually form the main points of a topical message. Okay, the introduction asks the what. The main divisions will answer the how, why, where, when, and who, and the conclusion poses the what then. All right? And you can read that following list of topical elements. That can also just stimulate further thoughts on how to approach that. Now, there is a few examples here of topical message of topical sermons. We're not going to read those in class. I'd just like you to just have a look over those, glance over those for homework, just to get a bit of an idea of what a topical message can look like. So, the first one there draws from, as you'll see, several different passages, even the forbidden fruit. Achan, the forbidden fortune, David and the forbidden female. Okay, so confession of sin, page 41. What when heaven seems like brass, so on. Okay, now on page number 42, there are some classroom exercises. We're just going to skip over that for the moment, okay? Because you've got a fair bit of work to do with your textbook readings. And I want that sermon prepared for next Wednesday. So leave the classroom exercises. We may, towards the end of the course, come back to these if we have time. But I'm assigning you, like last week, I'm assigning you little extra things to do here and there anyway, which we'll probably just substitute these classroom exercises when it's all said and done. I think the topical message is something, the topical and textual methods, you'll be able to learn fairly easily, and just growing those. But what I will be doing is focusing more on the expository method, and particularly in semester two, that'll pretty well all be expository emphasis. So I'll be actually getting you in a more practical way to prepare the expository messages. We'll probably get you to outline a whole book even. Okay, so we'll be. Because I remember my homiletics teacher told us, he said topical and textual are the easier forms of preaching, which you can learn pretty well by yourself. So I'm going to focus on expository, and his classes were pretty well exclusively focused on expository messages. So that's kind of what I'm looking to do here, but at least you get an overall idea of what the topical message is, and you will have to prepare one for one of your messages, so you will get some practice of doing that. But as we progress with homiletics together, and into the second semester, we will be emphasising and spending more time on the expository side of things. Because that's the... You ask any preacher... Thank you. You ask any preacher and they will tell you expository preaching is the hardest type of preaching to do. But if you can learn it and master it, then you'll be in a good position to teach and preach the Word of God. Okay, we're going to hold it there. Because we had the test this morning, we're running a little bit low on time, so let's just have a quick 5-minute break and come back, and we'll spend about another 20 minutes or so and just go through some more of the notes, and then we'll sign off, okay? All right, so let's stop now for a break. Thank you.